Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone, except it's evening. Usually I'm sitting here in the early morning hours, 5 a.m., 5:30, 6. Today, I'm recording this evening before, so we're going to risk the sound of jets taking off at the airport. We're going to risk the sound of dogs barking, perhaps people walking behind the alley here. Who knows, Juliana could be coming out at any time with Charles. We know how Charles likes to be on the show. So we're going to risk it all here. Yes, we're going to risk it all on MZTV. Let us see how well I can focus with the distractions all around me. Usually you see it getting brighter behind me. But today you're going to see it get darker and darker and darker. Just like this eon. Haha, what do you know? Martin Zender here. Welcome. I'm going to talk about Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration because this really throws people for a loop. There's some key words and phrases here that's going to make this make sense for you. And as far as I know, I'm the only one with the interpretation that you're going to hear today. Yeah, there you go. There's the dog barking. But I love it. It's ordinary life here, and we're making this happen in the drudgery of everyday living. And you're listening to it in the drudgery of everyday living. So hang on to your seats, folks. This is going to be a ride. This is a mind blower. Because at the time of the vision, there's a key, when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah were dead. But you see, people use this verse to say, look, the dead are alive. Because, oh, there's bugs biting my foot. Oh, hang on a second. Oh. Okay, see, I forgot about the risk of bugs. They're usually sleeping at 5 a.m. I see a moth flitting around over here, so he might enter the scene. People say, this verse proves that the dead are alive because Moses and Elijah are appearing with Christ. So they're alive at the time, but they're not. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus is taking aside Peter, James, and John, his brother, and is bringing them up into a high mountain privately and was transformed in front of them. This must have been a real kick, not only for Peter, James, and John, but for Jesus himself. It's like God's going to give him a break. It's like, okay, you know, you've been trudging up and down these roads. You've been really quite humiliated every single day. People think you're an ordinary man. You have brothers and sisters, and they think you're ordinary. And they're not going to see this, but this is going to feel good. And there's a reason that this was going to feel good and be good for our Lord. And that reason is mind-boggling. I'm going to get to that when we get to this passage in Mark, because Mark gives an account of this event also. Right now, I'm reading it from Matthew. There's a key word here that I want to give you, and then there's a key phrase in Mark that's going to, well, shock you. But it's going to help you to explain this verse to people who think, Moses and Elijah are alive. The dead are alive. The dead are alive. And there's a bug. There's a some kind of. Did you see that? Some kind of bug crawling on my scriptures here. So he takes Peter, James, and John to a mountain privately and was transformed in front of them, and his face shines as the sun, yet his garments became white as the light. And lo, Moses and Elijah were seen by them, conferring with him. Now answering, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is ideal for us to be here. If you are willing, I shall be making 3 tabernacles here. For you, 1. For Moses, 1. For Elijah, 1. I don't know what's going through Peter's mind here. I think he's like kind of losing it, going a little cuckoo. Why would you even think to make 3 tabernacles? Like tents, like the little shelters they made during the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, I would have said, let's take everybody over to Mary and Martha's house. why don't I get one horse for you, one horse for Moses, one horse for Elijah, and we'll gallop over and have lunch at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's place. That's what I would have done, because I would have really wanted to talk to Moses and Elijah. But see, all this was impossible, and I'm going to explain to you why. Because Peter has no idea what's happening, as usual. While he was still speaking, lo, a luminous cloud overshadows them. I'm glad somebody shut Peter up. God did it with a luminous cloud. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying,
good idea, Peter. Yeah, let's make three little primitive shelters.
No, see, no. A voice out of the cloud saying, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I delight. Hear him. And hearing it, the disciples fall on their faces. That's more like it. Yeah. I much prefer you fall on your faces than suggest building primitive little huts for Moses and Elijah, who are not even alive at the time. Because there's a veil in between our Lord, Moses and Elijah, and the three stooges here. There's a veil. And that veil is a vision. And there's no way that they could pass that veil. There's no way the three mortals, the three stooges, could cross that veil. So the disciples fall on their faces and were tremendously afraid. And Jesus approached and touching them said, be roused and fear not. So the vision is over. But I'm going to prove to you it's a vision. And you need to know it's a vision because that helps explain this whole event. Fear not. Now, lifting up their eyes, they perceived no one except Jesus himself only. Boom! Look how fast this happened. They fall on their faces, and when they look up, he's back to the dusty old ex-carpenter from Nazareth. No more vision, no more face glowing, no more clothes whiter than light. It's just amazing how quickly these things happen. But this is the power Jesus had the entire time he was on earth. He just held it down, held it down, held the glory back. And he's holding our glory back too. I mean, yeah, it was a little easier for him. We can't do it now, but our snatching away, our being made immortal, it's going to happen, well, we know this for a fact, in an instant. Even more instantaneous than this change of Jesus from being the ex-carpenter to glorified and back to the teacher of the three stooges. And at their descending out of the mountain, Jesus directs them, saying, now you may tell no one of the vision till the Son of Mankind may be roused from among the dead. A vision is a look into the future. It's seeing something that is not then happening. Now I'm going to turn to, did you get that? A vision is something that is not happening at the time that the vision is seen. I'm not saying, notice, I'm not saying that the vision isn't real. I'm just saying that it's not happening at the time that it's being seen. Now we go to Mark chapter 9. Verse 1, and he said to them, verily I'm saying to you that there are some of those standing here who under no circumstances should be tasting death till they should be perceiving the kingdom of God having, notice the tense, having come in power. And after 6 days, Jesus is taking aside Peter, James, and John and is bringing them up into a very high mountain privately, alone. And he is transformed in front of them, and his garments became glistening, very white, as snow, such as no fuller on earth is able to thus whiten. And Elijah, together with Moses, was seen by them, and they were conferring with Jesus. And then Peter goes, this is recorded again by Mark, Peter goes on about building three tabernacles. This is funny, though. There's an additional piece of information here. Peter says, let's build three primitive huts. one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then we have this statement in verse 6 of Mark 9 that was not present in Matthew. For he was not aware what he may answer, for they became terrified. He was not aware. Perfect definition of Peter, the fisherman. For they became terrified, and there came a cloud overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Hear him." And suddenly, looking about, they no longer perceived anyone except Jesus. Jesus only with themselves. Okay, now I'm going to go to the third and final place in the accounts where this event is written of, and it's Luke 9, verse 28. It occurred after 8 days. Okay, and we go on. There's something new here that you need to know. At his praying to the perception, his face became different, and his vesture glistening white. And lo, two men conferred with him. We heard about the conference in Mark, but what we didn't hear was this. Two men conferring with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who, being seen in the glory, spoke of his exodus, which he was about to be completing in Jerusalem. Okay, now when you hear that, speaking of his exodus, that is his departure from the earth, and how is this worded here? Which he was about to be completing in Jerusalem. But wait a minute. In Mark, Jesus said that there will be some standing here, namely Peter, James, and John, who may not be tasting death until they should be perceiving the kingdom of God having come in power. The kingdom of God having come. What is happening here is Peter, James, and John are getting a look into the future at the kingdom having come. The kingdom has already come. Can you imagine what a comfort this would be to Jesus? He's on earth, and Jesus himself goes into the future, post-crucifixion, post-entombment, post-resurrection, and he is in the inauguration of the kingdom. That's how sure it is. This is like John in the unveiling, getting a glimpse of the future. John goes into the Lord's Day. He doesn't see the Lord's Day. He doesn't see like a projection of the Lord's Day. He doesn't see a recreation of the Lord's Day. He goes into the Lord's Day. This is time travel. This is nothing less than time travel. So this is also time travel. Jesus is going into the future, at which time Moses and Elijah will be alive in the kingdom of God, in the 1,000 years. You say, but Martin, they're conferring about his exodus. It says here that Moses and Elijah were being seen in the glory, spoke of his exodus, which he was about to be completing in Jerusalem. They're in the future conferring about the exodus that he was about to be undergoing in the time that the vision was seen by Peter, James, and John. So they're in the future talking about an event in the past, which to them in the future is the past. But to Peter, James, and John, in their time, in the first century, is yet to come. It's weeks or months ahead. This is what I mean by a mind blower. So Moses and Elijah are dead when this vision takes place. But the vision is of the future, at which time Moses and Elijah will be alive and Jesus Christ will be glorified. That's why his face shone. That's why his robes were glowing white as light. And they're talking about what he did in the past. They're talking about what he did 2,000 years ago. This is my interpretation, putting all three passages together. Moses and Elijah and Jesus are talking about what he did. That's a legitimate interpretation because they spoke of his exodus. And in their time in the kingdom, the exodus was past. His departure from the earth, his death. His crucifixion, his death, his entombment, and his being roused from the dead. Now we're coming back to the present time, which he was about to be completing. But they were speaking of it in the past, but now we're jumping back to the present, and from that viewpoint, he was about to be completing it in Jerusalem. Do you know why this is cool? Well, number one, when Peter, James, and John see Christ glorified in Moses and Elijah, they are looking at a time when we have already been taken into heaven and made immortal. They are looking at Christ glorified in the kingdom with Moses and Elijah, who will be alive at that time. And it's almost as if either Jesus, Moses, or Elijah had looked to the left or the right, they would have seen the body of Christ. Because in that time, we will already have been perfected, because the kingdom on earth comes, the kingdom having come, they see the kingdom having come, after it comes after we are snatched away. Our snatching away precedes the events seen in this vision, the conference, the amazing conference between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. So it's like Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are breathing air in that vision. They're breathing the same air that we're in. I mean, they're breathing the air of the time that we are already glorified. I mean, our glorification is so sure that it's already been done. It's already been seen. John did the same thing. John went to the third heaven. No, John went to the third earth. This happened to Paul, too. John goes to the third earth in the unveiling. Paul goes to the third heaven. And both of them are time traveling, and they're going to a time where we're already glorified. I mean, we're already there. If the camera had panned, if John going to the third earth, if the camera had panned upward, let's say, we would have been seen, because we were there. We were there, but the camera didn't pan to see us. The camera that was showing this conference of the kingdom having come, the camera just showed Moses, Elijah, and Jesus conferring about his exodus. Period. If the camera had panned one way or the other, we would have been seen as the glorified body of Christ. Here's another weird thing. I'm going to end with this, because this might be the most mind-blowing thing of all. In the kingdom, then, when the kingdom actually comes in time, when this is unrolled in real time, no visions here, but this has to unroll in real time, and it's not that far away from where I speak and from where you listen and watch, this vision will be seen. I think they're going to sell tickets to this. They're going to sell tickets, and they're going to see in the kingdom Peter, James, and John, and everybody that's raised, all the worthy Israelites, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, they're going to see Jesus conferring with Moses and Elijah. There's another thing. If the camera had panned to the left, you would have seen the audience in the kingdom, all the worthy Israelites resurrected, watching Jesus conferring with Moses and Elijah. And somebody could say, or Peter, James, and John are going to be alive then after having been dead for 2,000 years. They're going to point to that and say, deja vu, deja vu. We already saw that. We already saw this conference. And at that event in the kingdom, there will be seen those three men conferring about Jesus' exodus. They'll be talking about what he did 2,000 years ago, even though the people watching the vision back in the first century were considering it as a near future event. Now they're talking about it in the past. Deja vu. They're going to see the exact same thing, because they already saw it. They already saw it. They already get a sneak preview into the future. How is this possible? Because God already wrote the entire script. He tells the end from the beginning. tells the end. Everything has already been set. So God can easily take a clip from frame 600,522,699, and he can show that frame from the future. He can show it to people 2,000 years before it actually happens. Why? Because he's got the film in the can. The whole film is in the can. So all you got to do is cut a frame from reel 700 and put it in reel 2 and show it. And that's what that vision was. It was a clip from reel 700 shown to people who were walking out in real time, reel number 2. Is that cool? I thought you might think so.